And now for reading and writing and radio.
Miss Meany?
I wondered what happened to that thing. My class made it 30 years ago to be open the next year, and I haven't seen it since.
Let's open it now. Let's open it now.
It's only 30 years late.
That time capsule was discovered by Scott Diamond of Laketown Elementary School and Kate Humphrey of Isles School, both in Springfield. Now it's in Miss Meany's class. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Should have cleaned that closet out. I plumb forgot it was in there.
It's dated May 1980, and it's filled with stuff.
Why, I remember that was the year we had the blizzard on April 15th. Delayed our burying it for 3 whole days. That must be why I stuck it in the closet.
Here's a list of everyone in the class. They've made a will. They've each left something.
Let me see those names. Oh, why, I remember Kenneth Van Landerman. That little boy never could keep his big mouth shut.
He says, I leave my gift of gab to the quietest kid in the new class.
And Jimmy Watson leaves his appetite to the skinniest kid in the new class.
Oh, that sounds just like him. I remember what I did. I left my paddle to the new teacher. I thought I was going to be dropped, but the school board kept me after all. I've worn out 13 paddles since then, right here in this classroom.
Here's a picture of the class.
Gee, what funny clothes they wore then.
Is that what jeans look like?
Oh, yes, yes, I remember jeans. From the back, you couldn't tell Susie from Charlie.
There's a letter here called, to the person sitting in my desk, row 3, seat 5. Why, that's my desk. It's for me. Dear person sitting in my desk, please take good care of my desk. It's your desk now. You will notice there is an interesting design of Wonder Woman in the upper left-hand corner. I made it with my math compass. You will find my initials on the seat, SW. There are 12 wads of gum under the chair. I only put 3 of them there. Yours truly, Sam Watts. So that's who carved Wonder Woman. All this time, I thought it was the Incredible Hulk.
Here's a guidebook, How to Live for a Year in 5A and Like It. I'll read this section called, How Not to Get Called On in Class. Make yourself invisible. Put your head and shoulders directly behind the student ahead of you so the teacher can't see you. When the teacher moves, you move, so you are always hidden. If you sit in the front row, be inconspicuous. Assume a casual pose. Concentrate on fitting the top of your pen in the bottom. Hum to yourself. Hold your pencil upright. Point against the paper and slide your fingers from eraser to tip. Turn your pencil over and repeat. Turn and slide. Turn and slide. If the teacher calls on you anyway, do not answer immediately. Somebody else may well yell out the answer. When the teacher asks a question, wait till the others have raised their hand. Then when you see she's just about to call on someone else, raise your hand quick and eagerly, and she'll think you know the answer, but it's too late to call on you.
Oh, those kids, they thought they were so clever, but I was onto their tricks.
And here's a letter from the pencil sharpener.
Oh, let me read that one. That pencil sharpener gave me plenty of trouble. Dear class of next year, I am the pencil sharpener by the window. I hope you treat me better than this class did. They put in those runty little pencils and expect me to make a point. Or they put in a long pencil and then look out the window while they grind me away till the long pencil is a runty little pencil. Or they even put in those awful Crayolas that gum up my works. Sometimes they put in the eraser with that metal and, ouch, it hurts my teeth. But worst of all was that day that Susie Switchum jammed Timmy Timbuktu's little pinky in and turned my crank and got blood all over my insides and did Timmy yell. I sure hope you're a better class than this year's monsters. Signed, your long-suffering pencil sharpener. I wondered what those two were up to back there by that pencil sharpener. By gum, had to paddle them both. Couldn't figure out who was in the wrong.
Oh, look, all sorts of little presents wrapped up. One for each of us.
I'll open one. It's a water pistol. It says, to use in social studies, which is always dry.
Those kids had a real sense of humor, they did.
Here's a jackknife. It says, to sharpen your wits.
I don't think that one worked too well.
Here's a little drill. To use when things are boring.
Boring in my class? Are you kidding?
Here's a piece of candy. It says, to sweeten up the teacher.
Sweets to the sweets, all right. I told you kids they like me.
We'd better save the rest of the presents for the other kids to open up.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
You'll like this letter, Miss Meany. It tells some of the fun things the class did during the year.
You see, I knew they did some fun things.
Dear class, life with Miss Meany isn't all bad. We did lots of fun things this year. When she was out of the room, we threw wet toilet paper wads on the ceiling, and they stuck there, and she never noticed, till one drifted down on her arithmetic answer book 2 weeks later. But don't you try that, because she looks at the ceiling every day now.
You bet I do.
A real fun thing was making our pillows. John stitched his design best, a worm riding a tricycle. But he sewed it up too loose, and all the foam fell out. We all liked our Egyptian unit, especially when we wrote letters on scrolls and hieroglyphics. And then there were our math notebooks. How are numbers important in our lives? And Belinda wrote her entire notebook in number code.
Oh, I remember that clever little girl. I decoded one page and got such a headache I had to leave off to watch the Academy Awards.
Here, let me read the rest. Then we made puppets with styrofoam heads and acted out the witch's scene from Macbeth. Double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble. And best of all was our spring celebration. On the first day of spring, we sang Jonathan Bing Sings for Spring and went out on the lawn and ran and jumped and somersaulted and cartwheeled.
You should have seen me, boy. I could turn a mean cartwheel in those days.
And did spring dances and worshiped the sun and praised the equinoxes and yelled and hollered and had spring treats. And the principal came running out to see what we were doing and ran into a tree. So never fear, you will have fun in Miss Meany's class. With love, class of 1980.
Hey, they've drawn us pictures too. It says, these are scenes from the books we read this year. And there's a big spider and a fat pig. Did they read Charlotte's Web way back then?
They sure did. Every day I read them a chapter. got kind of weepy at the end, they did.
And here's a big awful face with no nose and nibbled ears. It says, The Ghost Boat by Jacqueline Jackson.
Why, she wrote all sorts of good books, and she was a friend of mine. Every week, the whole class listened to that radio show. Now, what was it called? Da-da-da-dee-da-da-da. Oh, yes! Reading and Writing and Radio. By gum! The kids loved to write after they heard that show. Couldn't keep the little darlings away from paper and pen.
Here are some writings about Reading and Writing and Radio. Listen, dear class who finds this time capsule, every week we listen to that super fabulous radio show, Reading and Writing and Radio. Here's a tape of their silly theme song. And here are some sound effects from the Round Bard program. And here's a photograph of our graffiti board.
Oh, I remember that graffiti board. We had to keep the fourth graders from putting those naughty words on it.
And here are some writings from the teacher program that were read over Reading Your Writing. We copied some down for you.
Here's one from Chris Grossner, who was in Miss Kunson's fourth grade, North School, Verdon. My first grade teacher was very, very mean to me. I forgot her name because it was so many years ago. The class and me would be watching a movie, and she would pick me up by the arm and put me in the corner for no reason. Well, she was tall with beady brown eyes and long, hairy legs. It sounds like the creature from the Black Lagoon, doesn't it?
Oh, those kids had a sense of humor, all right.
Here's two about a teacher from Petersburg. Jeffrey Miller writes, When I was in fourth grade, I had Mrs. Hettinger. During the summer, there were rumors that she was the meanest teacher. Not true. I loved her, and so did everyone else that was in my class. I admit I did get a couple of paddlings, but I still liked her. One reason that she liked me so much was probably I was one of the three best people in math. I call her up every once in a while to discuss stuff that went on in the last month. And Lisa Horn writes, I liked Mrs. Hettinger because she was so enthusiastic about everything. You never knew what she was going to do next. In fourth grade, Mrs. Hettinger made everything sound so fun. Everyone wanted to go or do or whatever the situation was. She even made homework sound kind of fun. Mrs. Hettinger was strict, and I learned a lot from her. Even the activities she gave us were educational. Now in my spare time, before the bus that takes us home gets there, I go and visit with her until my bus gets there.
She sounds like a neat teacher. Danelle Whitehead of Mr. Sibley's class, Withrow School in Springfield, says, I had a teacher, not going to mention any names, but she ate crackers in class all day. And when kids brought cupcakes, she broke the cupcake in half and put the frosting in the middle. Hey, here's a real neat poem from Bobby Shull, who says her friend Christy Hill gave it to her. Now I lay me down to study. I pray the Lord I won't go nutty. If I should fail to learn this junk, I pray the Lord I will not flunk. But if I do, don't pity me at all. Just lay my bones in study hall. Tell my teacher I did my best. Then pile my books upon my chest. Now I lay me down to rest. And pray I pass tomorrow's test. If I should die before I wake, that's one less test I'll have to take.
And here's one about you, Miss Meany.
Oh, what did they say about me? I thought I'd just let the ones in there about the other teachers.
Oh, our teacher is Miss Meany. This is a warning. You better watch out for her. If you chew gum, she makes you put it on your nose. If you talk, you have to write the definition of quiet out of the dictionary 40 times. And she burns your baseball cards if you are looking at them during school.
Oh, lies! All lies! I made them swallow their gum. And at the end of the year, I gave them each a nice little present, a clean handkerchief. Should have given them that at the beginning of the year.
That's what you give us now, only it's Kleenex.
Well, you know, we got to economize a little bit these days, and we all have our peculiarities. That Jackie Jackson, what do you suppose has happened to that old coot? You don't imagine she's still broadcasting that radio show, do you? We quit listening years ago when we lost the sideband. Oh, Scott, I told you not to open that other side of the closet.
Hey, Miss Meany, could this funny-looking box be the sideband?
By God, that's it. The old sideband. I wondered where that thing had gone. Wonder if it still works.
It's still on. It's the same theme song.
Do you suppose Jackie Jackson's still presenting it? She must be as old as you are, Miss Meany.
Oh, no, no, Sonny. She's just a little bit older.
Now, all you kiddies in the classroom.
That's her? I'd know her voice anywhere. By Godfrey, she's getting a bit dotty. She never called you kids kiddies before.
All you kiddies, this year we're suggesting for the 30th time that you make a nice time capsule for next year's class. Why, when I opened up the time capsule from last year, you never know what you'll find in a time capsule. I found my glasses and my teeth and the recipe for scrambled eggs almondine that I thought went down the disposal.
She hasn't changed a bit.
She's on the very same topic. What a coincidence.
Shh!
Now, a time capsule's like those, cornerstones of a building, where they put in important documents, the local newspaper, and all sorts of other doodads. So when the folks tear down the building, they'll know what everybody was doing while the building was going up. Makes it sort of interesting, you know, to tear down a building. Or when the aliens come to this planet and we're all dead and gone, for whatever reason, the sun got too hot, or we got some plague, or the gelatinous spot ate us all up. Well, then, the aliens will find and open our time capsules. And the government's buried a dozen of them, you know. And see films of us doing our rock dances and Leonard Bernstein directing the Philharmonic and Brezhnikov making those great ballet leaps.
Doesn't leap too high anymore.
And Snoopy and Linus sucking his thumb and his blanket and all that. And they'll know that there were civilized folk living on this earth. And from your time capsule, alien school kiddies will learn that there were civilized kiddies in your classroom. Or half-civilized, at any rate.
He's got it right there, by gum.
You know, back when people read, there were some literary kids named Charlotte and Anne and Emily and Branwell Bronte, one boy, lived over in England. And from the time they were little tykes, they were writing little books about make-believe lands, and Branwell wrote about his toy soldiers, I seem to remember. And Charlotte grew up to write Jane Eyre, and Emily wrote Wuthering Heights. But back when they were kids, mind you, they wrote long letters to themselves. Yes, you heard right, to themselves. And Charlotte'd say on her envelope, to Charlotte to open on, And she'd give a date 4 years ahead, and then 4 years later, if she was still alive, she'd open and read what she'd told herself 4 years ago. What pudding they had for tea, and what she was thinking about, the mysteries of life, and then, you know, poems and advice to herself.
That's a good idea.
Oh, she's as long-winded as ever. Age hasn't hurt her lungs any. Not sure about her brain, though.
So you might want to be like those Brontes and write yourself a letter. I did when I was 12, to open when I was 21. Only when I got to be 21, I couldn't find it. I remember a few things that were in it, though. I told myself never to stop loving dogs. So all you kiddies and listening classrooms, prepare your time capsule or letters to the future and send a copy of anything fit to read to me at WSSR Sangamon State University.
Well, I can see that that university still has some sense keeping that radio show on.
Oh, can we do that, Miss Meany? I want to make a time capsule for myself to open when I'm 16. I'll tell what it's like to be me at 11 and give my height and weight and measurements and what my interests are and what I think of my friends and my parents and you, Miss Meany.
Yes, and let's do one as a class for next year's class. There's a million things else we can think of to put in, including a typical school day in Miss Meany's class.
All right, all right. But we better put it in a place we'll remember this time. Since it looks like we're back to listening to reading and writing at radio again, we better send in copies of our masterpieces right quick. Because this is close to the end of the year and we want to get them read on Reading Your Writing, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, come on now, let's try to get this closet door closed again, kids. Next year.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.